What's up? Welcome back to another episode of She, Her, They with Kittens. This week, I have my really good friend Aziane on with me. She's a Grammy-nominated singer, songwriter, and voice actress who not only makes the most, like, sensuous R&B tracks, which if you're looking for some, like, sapphic vibes to set the mood, she's 1,000% your girl. But she's also a huge-ass nerd who arguably likes Harry Potter more than me, loves anime and cats, and actually she has a cat named Yuki that's so fucking cute that I want to steal her. But anyways, in this episode, aside from sharing her hilarious and warm personality, Aziane opens up really candidly about the obstacles she's faced in the music industry as a Black femme gay woman, body image battles, and how she stood strong in her authenticity despite all the bullshit. Just a reminder that since language around identity is very nuanced and ever-evolving, some terms here may become outdated. This is meant to be a safe and inclusive space, so I'm going to do my best to constantly learn and stay on top of changes.
Am I supposed to be, like, dressed up, bitch? Because...
You're good.
You got a whole cleavage situation happening right now.
No, I don't have cleavage. I have no boobies. It's just...
Like, I have on whatever the fuck I had on after I did that.
You are, like, full glam right now with lashes on. Calm down.
Bitch, you don't need lashes. So shut up. I need lashes. I require lashes to have a full flutter effect. You don't need...
Are you trying to call me out? You have full face beat nails done.
I did my nails yesterday.
I haven't done my nails in months. This is the first time in my life that I've had real, like lesbian hands, you know?
Yes. I remember when people used to see my nails, like, there's no way you're a lesbian. Look at your nails. Bitch. I know what it looks like. I know where it's at. I know what to do. These nails ain't stopping no show. Back on topic, because, you know, that's a whole nother... See, this is how you get to be friends, because we just be around all over the place. Okay, but it's fine. We back.
You know.
Hello, my name is Aziane, like Ozzy Osbourne, with an on at the end, so don't mess my name up. Aziane, can we curse? Are we cursing? Because...
Yeah, fine. Bring it on.
Wonderful. yeah, Aziane. I am a singer-songer, I'm a singer-songwriter, actress, voiceover actress, three-time Grammy nominated. I'm only one real soon. Mm. Just wait.
We're ready.
Just wait. Have my lesbian ass on there like, ha, got one.
Yeah. One for the team.
One for the team. Can we have one? Somebody got one.
Who?
Recently, what was the lady's name? She had an amazing performance last year at the Grammys.
White girl?
I can't remember her name. Yeah.
That was just a guess. I don't know which one.
You know what? Get out of my face. Okay. Either way, she, her. Uh-huh. Queer as fuck. Mm-hmm. We in here. What's that?
Love it. Welcome. Thank you for popping in. It's really so nice to have you, just because the way I even found you and got connected with you is because you came on Shuffle when I was listening to Spotify. And I was straight up in the other room of my house and I heard you singing and I heard a female pronoun in a love song. And I was like,
what?
Yeah. And I was like,
because you need to rewind this. Because I just want to make sure she said what I thought she said when she said it, but I'm not sure because I don't think she said it.
This is a real, like hot and heavy fucking sexual ass song. And I'm hearing like her and she, and I'm like, oh, okay. Who is this? Guilty. So yeah, no, like after hearing that, then I was like, I need to be her friend. I love her. Like, she's fantastic. So,
and then we both love Harry Potter and we've just been friends ever since.
I know. No, it's the most like, we just can't get any better, honestly. I'm like, this girl's a nerd and fantastic. And
I love, like, you know, power to the nerds, okay? Even though JK is tripping right now and I don't claim her.
No, yeah, she's been excommunicated. She's been kicked out of Hogwarts. Like, she's done.
You created Hogwarts, but then we had to kick you out because you violated the rules, sis, and you have to go.
Yeah, no, she She's so embarrassing. And also, like, during Pride Month, like, girl, shut the fuck down. Shut the fuck up.
Do you have to right now? Like, at this very moment, at this very time, you just need to say something to be what relevant?
Like, you really thought. And also, JK isn't even queer, is she? No. Like,
no.
Why does she not? Like, she needs to be the voice to sit, like, speak for lesbians and, like, what? Nobody asked you. Sit the fuck down, old white lady. Like, you just, nobody needs you. No one needs your voice right now. Especially when I hate the last voice. So disappointing.
Okay, back on topic, because, you know, that's a whole nother, see, this is how you get to be friends, because we just be around all over the place. Okay, but it's fine. We back.
Yeah. All right. Okay. So first question is, did you feel a difference in your creative process after coming out? I don't even know your coming out story, actually. I just realized, but you know, you don't have to get into that.
You know what? I'm trying to think if I ever actually just like came out. Like when I started becoming well-known in the music industry, everybody just automatically kind of knew I was a lesbian because I was dating a woman and I would just, you know, like, oh, this is my girlfriend, blah, 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 blah. And it was never really a coming out. Although when I was younger and I was putting out music as an artist, I used to sing about guys because I was 15 and that it wasn't cool to be a lesbian. It wasn't okay to be a lesbian. And I also hadn't fully accepted it myself. Just because I didn't want to be like, you know, disowned by my family, I guess.
Of course not.
You could say. And at 15, I was just like trying to figure out like, okay, I know I've been looking at butts since kindergarten. I know that I feel a way when I see this pretty girl, you know, like I feel a certain way on my inside parts and I don't know what that means, so to speak. But the right thing to do is to date this guy. So I guess I'll do that.
Sexuality.
You know, and then I in high school, I lived in South Carolina and Charleston, which is a very racist place and also very homophobic. Mm-hmm. So I just kind of like kept it low. I had girlfriends all the while. Well, I had the boyfriend that I was dating. Sorry. I'm so sorry. Sorry. Like, you're cool. You're very cool, but you just weren't for me. And then after I moved and I left and, you know, I just started living life on my own, I just did whatever I wanted to do. And then I didn't actually come out to my mom until I was like 2 years into a relationship.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. It was like, and she was like, I kind of figured that, but okay, you know, whatever. Some certain family members didn't take it as easily, but you know, hey, you just got to keep going. You can't like live your life for anybody else but you. And once I figured that out, I didn't really care about what anybody else felt. So that's basically my coming out story for like family shit, but like for like the industry, I was just a lesbian girl.
So when you were making music and just, you know, thinking about boys and stuff when you were younger, at what point did you start singing about women and feeling comfortable to do that?
So so my writing took off. And then I wasn't even able to put anything into my artistry anymore at that point. So I was just like writing for all these artists. And then two things happened. My dad was killed, and then me and my ex-fiance split like all around the same time. And I kind of like had to go through a rebuilding phase of myself. And at that time, people were calling me Asia Bryant because it was easier. And I got tired of people like screwing up my name. But once I found myself and put myself back together, and I was like, okay, I am who I am. It is what it is. And I made a project that helped me get through my breakup. It was all about women. It just happened to heal me at the same time. It was my therapy. And that's what I ended up putting out to the world. And it was my first project as ASEAN, my real name. Because I was like, if I'm going to put out something that's 100% authentically me, it should be my real actual name that's on my birth certificate.
Absolutely.
Those bitches are just going to have to learn it.
Figure it out. It's not complicated.
Figure it out. It's really not. It's not that hard. It's not. So yeah, that's that. And that was the first time I put music out that spoke to my sexuality and to who I actually really was. And that I don't feel like I found myself until that moment anyway. So anything I had made previous to that was just me making music. Right. But that was real for me. And that's when it happened. So there's space for me. There's a place for me right now. Like I said, back then at 15, there was no space. There was no open area. There was no, I feel like, safe space to just be your authentic self. Yeah. And I feel like one of the reasons why I go so hard about, you know, saving space and reserving space for LGBTQ artists is because we didn't have that growing up. So yeah. Whatever walls I have to face and whatever glass ceilings I have to break for the next generation of LGBTQ artists, that's what I'm doing. That's what I'm here for. So and it's still a struggle. It's not even like, everything's not popping. You know what I mean?
Like, there's like pumps for
we believe in LGBTQ, take that. But you know, like there's been moments where I've, kind of face discrimination because of my sexuality in the music that I make. Like, you can't come and do this festival or you can't do this show because of what you're singing about, basically.
Oh, God.
And that sucks because I'm just singing about love.
Yeah. You know? People can't see past their like ignorant beliefs.
You know, it's still something we're working towards, but I feel like we're doing good strides. We have good strides. I've made good strides myself, especially in the African-American community with being LGBTQ and an artist and kind of like a public figure of some sort. Like, you got to do what you got to do, man.
It's so beautiful and interesting to see how far things have come. Like, just, I'm thinking back, you know, I forget how old you are. Are we the same age, roughly? We're in the same like ballpark.
We're in the same ballpark.
Never. We're in the same ballpark. Like 10 years ago, I'm just like, I mean, I didn't even know I was gay when I was, until I met my first girlfriend. This was more than 10 years ago, but, you know, like there wasn't that much representation in media, in music, in TV. Like we had Ellen and like Melissa Etheridge. Yeah. We had two white ladies, and that was it. So growing up, like you're not the things that like kids and teens are consuming and interacting with. Like they don't really know a lot about things, and like there aren't things that can really help them put together their feelings and understand themselves. And obviously, like music helps us understand ourselves, it puts words and melodies and stuff to emotions and feelings we have. And
right, and even to think about it from that perspective, like you said, we only had Ellen, and like but there was no black people.
No black people, no people of color, no.
No people of color were just out and accepted as LGBTQ. So yeah. It's kind of like.
You're all these like weird little outlier, like cornered.
Right. We'll give you this corner, but that's about it. So like Ellen is like one of my biggest, because it's like.
That's all we had.
That's all I had. You know what I mean? And then, man.
But now it's like, it's so amazing to see because there's so many queer artists, like women of color, so many black queer women who are just killing it, you included.
What I'm like, not liking though, mm-hmm. is when artists use the ambiguousness of sexuality to get fans or to get the LGBTQ community. I cannot stand that because you don't live our struggles on a day-to-day basis. Don't pick and choose when you want to use it to your benefit if you're not going to come out here and advocate for us.
It's total. And, I mean, everyone understands cultural appropriation, and it's like that's something that happens so heavily with the queer community that people kind of don't touch on. There's all this like debating and shit. It's like, oh, I sometimes think girls are cute. Like
that's not cute.
You don't know.
That's not cute.
That's not the same. Like, don't do that.
That's it. Not the same.
Also, something I think is interesting is there's like a bit of a difference when it comes to like masculine and feminine presenting queer people. Mm-hmm. And it's like the more masculine presenting ones get taken more seriously in certain lights because they represent masculinity and we live in a patriarchal society. So they're like, oh, cool. Yeah, I get it. But then it's like,
but the feminine ones, they think it's a joke. They think it's space. They think they sexualize it. Mm-hmm. They fetishize it. Is that the word?
Yeah. Fetishize.
Mm-hmm. I was like, am I seeing this right? They do that, you know? And yeah. Like there's been plenty of times where I've gone to work with someone and they'll try to ask me personal shit. And I was like, oh no, I'm a lesbian. Oh shit. Well, you know, I can be both of y'all boyfriend. No,
nobody, no, no. We're good. Thank you for coming.
Thank you for your inquiry. But now I'm uncomfortable because you keep pushing this issue and now I have to leave and we can't make music anymore. And I've walked out of several rooms because of that, but I bet you word started to spread and people didn't try me like that anymore. Mm-hmm. It does suck that some people do fold into it just because they're on a mission to make it. Yeah. But it does suck that people don't take the more feminine lesbians or, you know, queer, whatever you identify as, more seriously than just the masculine presenting. Like that doesn't make sense.
Yeah. It's like, it just ends up being this little like game.
It's like, I said what I said.
Yeah.
It's like I said what I said. And this doesn't mean try harder. No. This doesn't mean that you're the one guy in the whole world that's going to change me to like, no, you're not. And every guy thinks that they are. It's just a thing.
Do you think hearing music growing up that has same sex love pronoun type representation, do you think you heard music like that growing up that it would have changed things for you?
If I heard it, it would have changed things for me. I probably would have done a lot of things differently. And I probably would have identified who I was sooner. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? Like,
yes,
when you don't see a representation of who you are anywhere, you're left to just experiment till you find it. And right. So I felt like I had to go through a lot of stuff to really get to who I was because I didn't see it anywhere. Mm-hmm. And I think if it was there, then life probably would have been a lot easier. I probably would have been more comfortable just being me. Just even outside of that, just being dark skinned, being thick, there's just so many different layers mm-hmm. that I had to become comfortable with in this industry, because this industry is very particular on what they deem stars or what they deem who can be an artist. And I had a lot of people basically, you know, tell a 15-year-old girl she's too big. Mind you, juniors, I'm thick. I've been curvy my entire life.
Yeah.
And, you know, to tell a 15-year-old they may be too thick to do the type of music they're doing, that fucks with you, you know? Oh, she's super talented. She's got almost like 20 pounds. I went from like, I ended up being like a size 2 at one point.
Oh my God.
Just because I really like dieted crazy. I ate the same thing every day. I worked out like 2-3 times a day just because I wanted to be accepted into this, whatever it's supposed to look like. And I looked sick to me, like looking back at it, I was like, oh girl, like, but you know, like telling that to a 15-year-old often, that can fuck up your mind. And so another
big
thing, body dysmorphia in real life. And I feel like I kind of still probably have it. I feel like that's why I just push the narrative of just like, be yourself, whatever that looks like, whatever that is to you. And if you are an artist and you are thick and you're this, just do it. Like, who cares?
Yeah.
It's about the music. It's not even about everything else, but you know, everything has to be sex sells, and you know, who doesn't want
is your body is a crazy, and people spend so much money to have like kind of curves you out. I'm like, that's the fucking gag of it all. Like, I can't.
But what's crazy, it didn't used to be in. It wasn't cool then, and then at some point, being super curvy became cool, and it's like.
It shouldn't have a period. Like,
shut up. Everybody's different. Nobody, I don't want everybody shouldn't look the same. Everybody shouldn't be shaped the same. We're all different, and that's what makes us beautiful.
Yeah.
But yeah, I wish I would have seen even that representation of myself, my shape and my color, my sexuality when I was younger, because it would have saved me a lot of self-hate, I feel like.
Yeah, I think it's, I mean, awareness and visibility across the board is so important. And I think so many people of color and, you know, the Black community and Indigenous, I can't talk today, Indigenous community, like there's just not the right kind of amount of representation that needs to be there. So, you know, all these kids growing up who can fit into the mold that is just present everywhere. It's like, oh, you can be this, 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 that, like all these options. So they can see themselves in so many options of role models. They feel like they can be anything. But when you just see one person that you kind of like identify like a tiny little crumb with, and you hold on to that and you're like, ah, but I don't look like them, or I don't come from the same background, or I don't have the socioeconomic status, or I don't have this or that. So I don't know if I can do that. And then they just like, you know, try on a million things. Like you're trying on all these outfits that don't fit. When if you just saw someone that looked like you, you could be like, oh, that
I get it now.
Work for me.
That works for me.
Yeah.
That resonates. I like that. You know what? I'm going to go with this. This is
Save the like trial and error and all the trauma that comes with that. Like the trial and error trauma is so real. Like just feeling like something doesn't fit and forcing it. And just, I'm like,
that's just feeling like you don't fit.
Yeah.
And forcing it, especially, like I said, in this industry, feeling like you don't belong anywhere. Like you walk into this room and then no one looks like you. There's no one else that does the things that you do. And it's a different feeling.
Yeah.
It's a different feeling for sure.
Your existence, your worthiness, you like so much.
Because it literally plays into everything else in your life. Because if you have this one thing, like for me, music and, you know, the arts, creative stuff in general, you have this one thing that you love and people tell you you don't fit there. Mm-hmm. And it's like, okay, so is my whole identity of myself and what I think I'm supposed to be wrong?
Like, where do you go from there? You know,
where do you go?
There's just not enough support and resources. And it's so crazy too, because the people who are saying you don't fit or this is what doesn't work, they're just the most out of touch people that don't know shit, that have no talent themselves, that don't have like any of those things. And they're just judging everyone. And it's like,
but the moment one person, just one of a me or someone like us go skyrockets to the top,
suddenly
they search for a person just like you. Now you work. Oh, I knew
No, they want to wait and see before they
actually they want to wait and see. And even that still is a thing. People are just waiting to see what's going to work, what's going to be cool, what's going to be accepted, just so they can say, yeah, I stand behind that. And it's just like, somebody's got to be the first person to be like, you know what, I'm going to stand behind this. I really believe in this. And I think they're amazing, regardless of all these other things that you guys try to put them down for, or put them in a box for, you know what I mean? Mm-hmm. I do see that a lot more now for transgender. I mean, we still got a long way to go for transgender rights, equality, even within the LGBTQ community. Like, we have so far to go.
Yeah.
But like, even in like the shows like Pose, you know what I mean? Like, that was amazing. And I want to see more of those stories. I'm actually in a story soon. I don't know. I can't get the details yet, but I'm in a show that actually caters to a transgender narrative. So it's really, really good. And I can't wait for me to be able to talk about it.
I can't wait to hear about it.
And it's like, we have to create the stories that we want to see, because at this point we have the platform to do things to make it so that the little us's have that representation now.
Totally.
And we can put it on YouTube. We can put it on anything, any platform that is free for us to just do it. We just gotta do it.
That's why I wanted to make the whole, you know, playlist, just so there's like a nice central discovery area for all LGBTQ non-binary femme artists, because there's just like so many that are amazing. And I feel like people having an opportunity to go find someone new and hear music that they identify with, and, you know, maybe find an artist that they identify with, whether it's how they look or what they're singing about or writing about or whatever. I think just having that zone to go to that's not like littered with random other like allies, like
we need a space. We need a space.
Like we don't need another playlist of the same fucking same artist. Like, what's the point?
I know they mean well, but I don't need another I Will Survive playlist. Let me hear the artists that are buzzing, that are great right now, that are LGBTQ artists. Mm-hmm. Let me hear that. Let me see that. Can I? And if I want to pull somebody else in, I already have those playlists. They exist already. Yeah. I'm looking for something specific, and I think it's dope that you're doing something that is specific to just this, you know?
I mean, thank you. But yeah, like that's something that like I wished existed, and I was like, damn, there's just not, like, there's not a nice central like hub of that. So yeah, I think it's fun, and I hope it helps like some little confused girl who doesn't know what she likes or who she is or what she identifies with, or just wants to hear music that she can relate to. And, mm-hmm. you know, I hope it helps somebody. Do you have any like favorite current artists that you've just been like playing a lot of, or throwback ones that you go back to frequently? Like, what have you been listening to lately?
A lot of queer artists that I like. There's a girl named Nicola. I want to say she's from the UK. Mm-hmm. She's really dope. Sierra Sean. I listen to the internet a lot. And Sid. I listen to Janelle Monáe.
I'm so glad she came out. So happy to have
girl. We knew, girl. We knew you was with us the whole time.
But like, thank
you. We was just waiting for you. I'm glad you took your time. You did what you need to do. Like, just thinking back to some of the urban artists, and, you know, they're getting rid of the term urban, which is cool or whatever, but that I know are LGBTQ, and they made songs that weren't represented, a representation of that, and still don't, like, claim it. It's just kind of like, dang, you're one of the reasons why I had to go through so much. You could have just said, yo, this is me, and kept it pushing. But it's like, I can't put that on you. It's not your job. You know, it's not your purpose if that wasn't your purpose. Mm-hmm. So I feel like this is my purpose. You know what I mean? Like, it's a thing that I have to do.
Yeah.
So the little girl, like I said, so the little girls or the little boys, little everybody can just have something
with themselves.
Just be cool to be you. There's nobody else like you in the entire world. Why would you want to be someone else?
Yeah. I think the more different identities and people that we see and kids see, then they're not going to be just trying to fit into these weird little molds that society's told us we have to fit into forever, you know?
And then, you know, I feel like also, and this is, I think, speaks volumes to the rate of suicide in LGBTQ youth, is because they don't see it. Mm-hmm. They don't think it's okay. They're around people who tell them every day that who you are is a sin, and mm-hmm. what you're doing is evil, and blah, 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 blah. And they don't have people that look like them and talk like them, walk like them, or from the same places as them.
Give them hope.
To give them any type of hope. And that's, I feel like that's another big purpose of mine, is because, like, what other reason am I here to do this for?
Yeah.
For what other purpose did I go through the trials and tribulations that I went through just to make it here, just to keep growing and then not help someone else? You know what I mean? I think it's a big deal. So, like, a lot of the fundraising stuff I've done this year was for the Trevor Project, which is, you know, for suicide prevention for LGBTQ youth. And I think it's just so important. we have to, this next generation is going to be so important. Mm-hmm. And I think they know that. The next generation of voters are so important. The ones who are just turning 18, they care. And they're seeing more representation. And that's why they're more prone to speak up. They're more prone to march in the streets right now with signs saying this and going against their family members and going against things that they have learned, you know, unlearning it and learning something new and saying, you know what? I don't think that's right. You know what? I think it's okay if I'm this way. You know what? I think that I'm pretty awesome. But thanks, Mom. You know, like,
thanks for nothing. You know, I do wonder too, actually, just like you bringing that up, there's a level of like adaptability that the new generations seem to have. Like the younger and younger they go, they learn and adapt so quickly, like to new technology. Like there's little kids who can figure out how to use an iPad faster than my dad, who's an engineering professor. Like what?
Right.
So there's a adaptability that these kids have. And I wonder if that's part of the reason why there's so much more acceptance and understanding, because they're not stuck in this, well, this is the way life is, and this is how men and women are supposed to be, and this is what sexuality is supposed to be. They're like, oh, there's other options? Cool. Oh, I can be this? Cool. Oh,
you know, I think it's also because of technology that's one of the main reasons, because they have so much access to information now, you know, and even just doing videos and doing things like this, that they'll be able to search and they'll find and they'll listen and they'll watch it. And they're like, you know what?
Yeah.
You're right. Yeah. It's because of these things. It's because of technology. And I feel like, you know, when I was growing up, you know, it wasn't this technical, you know, it wasn't this pop. And I couldn't just search all the stuff I can search now and just be on the internet. And I think that that's another reason, because they want to know, they want to learn, they want to unlearn, they want to see what the world is like outside of this one boxed view that their families give them.
Yeah.
And I think that's super dope. And I think also that other kids their age challenge their views.
Mm-hmm.
Not in a mean way, but you know, like, why do you think that way? Have you ever seen so and so? Like, they're very informative, and you know, I think that's super dope. But I definitely think it has a lot to do with technology.
Yeah, it's like there's so much access to information that their thought patterns and belief systems aren't just set in stone with blinders.
Right,
they know there's other shit, so they're like, "Well, what's over there?
Let me go search this. Yeah. Let me go look at that. Oh, that's interesting."
Fluid across the board, and
yeah,
you know, flowing in the direction of positive change.
I love it. Love to see it.
Okay, I have a fun question. If you could dream up your ideal creation zone, no limitations on physics, time, space, like anything, you could be anywhere in the world, anytime, on ocean and space, wherever, what would it be?
Oh, girl. that's a good question. Okay, creation zone. Okay, I'm a really big Avatar fan. Like, all the Avatars. Avatar Airbender and Avatar with Blue. I love how Pandora looked.
Yeah.
But I also like being by the water. I like how they have like three moons and shit. Like, and like, but you can just look up at the sky and it like be beautiful. I like galaxies and stuff like that. And being by the water and seeing the mountains at the same time is amazing to me. So it would definitely be something that's set up kind of like that, on the water, see some mountains, see a couple of moons or maybe another planet or some shit, you know, some ethereal shit, you know, cause I'm a unicorn. And
I love that. I love that. And I think it's really like really important and really helpful. And I'm glad you exist. I'm glad you're here. And I'm glad I know you.
I'm glad you exist. I'm glad you're here. And I'm glad I know you.
Well, I think that's like a perfect, beautiful note to end on. So
yes.
Thank you so much for hitting me up and taking time out of your day to do this.
Thank you for creating the space.
Of course.
Creating the space. Thank you for creating the space. Needed it is required for where we're going in the world. And I am so proud of you.
Thank you. I want to take a quick picture. We're just going to do a little screenshot moment. Just, you know, ready. 1, 2, 3.
Thanks so much for tuning into She, Her, They. Make sure to subscribe wherever you listen to podcasts and on YouTube for video from this episode. Join us at She, Her, They on Instagram. And if you want to give me a lurk, you can find me across all social media at I Am Kittens. Yes, that's like baby cats with an S at the end. We'll catch you next time.